check out Agent CRM. It is the platform that we really wish we had before.
Oh, yeah. It has everything you need, and their team helps you get set up.
Check out Agent CRM in our description, and enjoy the show.
What up, everybody? How are you guys doing out there? I know I'm doing good. I know Todd is doing phenomenal because he's with me and Rob's not here today.
I'm a stand-in.
Yes, and we are fortunate to have. I'm going to read this off because I have a lot of things to introduce her for. Here we go. We have a TV host, a recording artist, a motivational speaker, a media coach, and a best-selling author. If you don't know Amy Scruggs, folks, you should. How are you, Amy?
Fantastic. Thank you so much. This is my first podcast back, so I can't speak today after a couple weeks off in Costa Rica. So I feel fabulous, ready to get back to work. I'm done being in the jungle, and let's have some fun today.
Nice. Okay. Were they playing Welcome to the Jungle? Sorry. Anyway,
I had it in my head the entire time. My family was sick of me wanting to go there constantly.
Yes.
Did you have a good experience in Costa Rica?
Excellent experience in Costa Rica. Couldn't be better. Amazing, amazing people. Just incredible rainforest. The animals, just preserving our environment, our wildlife there is just such a big deal. So it was wonderful.
That's fantastic. I got to know, what's the craziest thing you saw while you were there?
Oh gosh, the howler monkeys. Those things are insane. That and the poisonous snakes. I don't know. There was a good cross between that, but.
Nope.
Oh God, yes.
Okay.
So
back on point. So sorry.
No, it's okay. Hey, trust me. I'm going to have Farley-isms all day. So it's all good. Here we go. So we just read off an extensive background. I want to know a little bit more about your background from you and give it to us.
Thank you. Well, for the sake of keeping this show on point and not going into, you know, a lifelong journal here, I'm going to give you my cliff note versions and I'll be as brief as possible. But really, to sum it all up, it's a true example of learning how to shift. When you go, wait a minute, she's a recording artist. Wait, she wrote a book. Wait, she's a speaker and coaching now. What that is a constant evolution of shifting. And you take each component in your life and your career and go, wait, how can that benefit the direction that I'm going? How can it benefit those that I work with now? And it evolved into this beautiful, wonderful combination that I don't see as separate categories. It's just Amy. And so it started back in the beginning of 2000 when I got my first wonderful opportunity to step into a career after years of not having one yet as a wholesale mortgage account executive. You cannot say anything more boring than that, but it was actually really exciting because I was all over Southern California and it was my job to be in the field, bringing in those loans for the bank that I represented, underwriting in the field. Again, I am not into accounting or bookkeeping. Mortgage was not my passion, but you know what is people and learning and growing and thriving. And I learned very quickly that being able to have effective communication, connect with people and make real solid relationships and don't burn bridges was the key to my success. And so I was able to use that time and really gained incredible experience. It was boots on the ground. It was tough competition. And then also what I didn't see coming as we all lived through in 2007, 8, 9, now we had a major shift and a recession. That was the first industry to go was that real estate and mortgage industry. I lost my job. That was it. I was the provider of my kids and it was gone. 4 mouths to feed. Back up to beginning of life, knowing that I could sing, had been performing since I was 3, started playing piano by ear at 3, was always growing, you know, singing in choirs at school and at church, and then, you know, cover bands out at the concerts in the park throughout Southern California, had an opportunity to start recording in Nashville in 2004 when I was still doing well with the wholesale industry. And so combining those things. So what happens when the recession hits? I went, time to shift, take the sales experience, what I learned from that on running my business as a sales professional and take it into my passion as a recording artist. And 6 months later, I opened for Clint Black because I asked for the business. So taking that and moving it forward now, being able to tour, I also had such a passion for our veteran and military community. So I started performing for the USO, for the American veterans, and it opened up opportunities that people got to know me and say, wow, we want to bring her in. And so I negotiated a contract with AMVETS and became the spokesperson for the state of California for 4 years, performing for our military and veteran community and also still running my business. It was that shifting to say, how can I combine passion, opportunity, and experience, and opened up more doors years later, stepping me into a position as a TV host because they needed someone that spoke the language of real estate, understood the veteran community, and was comfortable speaking in front of a camera. And I think I was the only one that was recommended going, wait, we've got the perfect person. And wow. I shifted into learning how to be a TV host, learning how to interview professionals, nonprofits, business owners, startup entrepreneurs, major entrepreneurs, everything. And it taught me so much. And it taught me one common thing that most people are afraid of being on camera. Most people are uncomfortable speaking in front of the camera or in an interview, no matter what your background, no matter how successful you are. We all have that insecurity of, do I sound like this? Do I look like this? Oh no. And so quickly I shifted into helping the professional I was interviewing right on the spot to be more comfortable. And I thought, huh, there's some coaching opportunities here. And so that now shifted into starting to coach some clients privately while I was still doing these other things and still performing. And then the pandemic hit. We all had an opportunity to shift, didn't we?
Right. Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
And we all did.
Yes. And I went, wait a minute. I no longer could go to the studio and interview. Oh, I better learn how to set this up at home. I better start connecting with amazing professionals around the world. Wait a minute. Why don't I take this opportunity to take what I've learned and put it into a book to help professionals that are now all in virtual meetings? Now it wasn't just people that wanted to be on TV. It was everyone. And we remember at the beginning of the pandemic, all the Zoom fails, right? I mean, it was hysterical. I said, wait a minute. I started doing workshops to help people even frame themselves and not stand up and turn around in front of the camera and all the things that we know not to do when we're even in a Zoom meeting, let alone a podcast. And it's opened up incredible opportunities. And at the same time, I was given an opportunity after 18 years to go back to Nashville and record my dream project with one of the biggest producers. And I said, it's time to break barriers. As a 49-year-old independent female artist in country music, I got to go do it. I said, and I'm at this point goes going, why not? Yeah. Why not? I have all my experience performing and touring. I can go sell it. Yeah, I'm not uncomfortable doing interviews. Let's combine all this and see what happens. And here I sit today and I have broken the barriers and I'm on the charts with Music Row right now, number 71 with all the top pros with What If It All Goes Right. And now I'm here with you guys to talk about it. So here we are.
All right. So yeah, I have all these questions that I write down because that's me. I got to write them down. And I'm sitting there and she's pretty much answered every question, but I want to go.
I tried. And did I do it in 5 minutes?
That was strong.
Thank you.
I got to definitely do that.
I recognize the sales. The sales. You got your elevator speech nailed.
Thank you.
So with all this, I know that we've had to do a lot of transitioning.
Yes.
Where would you say that the motivation is coming from? I mean, we know you got family, we got four children. Is that your main motivation or are there other things out there motivating?
I think it would be dishonest to say, no, the motivation is not coming from even just, all right, I've got mouths to feed. I've got grown children, which are more expensive than small children. And by far. So there's always that motivation to go, hey, I've got to keep this moving forward, regardless what life throws at me. And definitely in the early days when we were touring, it was, this is how we were eating. This is how we were living. Major recession. I didn't have that job to go back to. So a big motivation was definitely survival. This time it was more of a, ooh, let's see what survival and opportunity can be, because I'm a lot more calm now. I'm older. I feel like I can shift easier. I don't go into maybe such a panic about it to go, ooh, I actually saw it as a joyous opportunity. And so for me, I think a lot of the motivation was going, what if, which is interesting. I kept saying, what if the book's a bestseller? What if I can go back to Nashville and I find the right songs? And then out of 1,000 songs I was pitched, my A&R rep did an incredible job reaching all the publishers, the writers in Nashville, and pitching me music. And what song stood out for me like a sore thumb that was the most perfect? What If It All Goes Right? I'm like, all right, this is supposed to happen. Is supposed to happen. Because what if?
At its finest. Let's go.
So I had that motivation before I even knew I was going to have the blessing of recording that song.
Yeah. My God, that's great. A little intuition there. I love it. I love it. Now, you're talking about Lights, Camera, Action. That came out in fall of 2021. You became a bestseller. What was it? If I remember reading the stats. It was like within a month or two, you became a bestseller.
Yes. We came out the door, came out the gate swinging. I was so grateful.
I mean, with your background and your sales background, I mean, you had everything just in a great flow because you had such a good positive attitude in the way that you were doing things. Did you, you kind of hinted toward this, but with Lights, Camera, Action, how quick was your goal to get that to being a bestseller?
I wanted it to happen pretty soon. I didn't want it to just sit around. I wanted at least to come out the gate strong. And so I did what my publisher actually wasn't real thrilled that I was going to do, but I released the music at the same time because I knew that one was going to feed the other. And so I timed it right that I would come out the gate. So as people were that love music or, oh, we love this song. And they're like, wait a minute, she wrote a book. And those that knew me as a coach and knew me as a TV host were like, she sings. I used both of those to keep pointing a finger back at the other. Two different websites pointing to the other to encompass one business. And I went against the grain with that. And I listened to my instincts. And I'm glad that I did.
Now, writing a book is a huge undertaking. What was the seed? What was the genesis? Because that's a long process.
Well, it did help that the world locked us up for that time. So there was some, well, might as well sit here. I'm sitting here anyways. But, you know, what was fun about that time and when I was writing the book was that I was seeing people that I work with in coaching and in TV hosting virtually like this. By getting on Zoom, I was seeing more people every day than I was when I was driving around San Diego per se, or when I was trying to do other things. And I went, oh, it expedited my relationships growing deeper quicker. So I took that opportunity to reach key people that had been a part of my life, part of my career that I felt were really experts in their field in those niche parts of the chapters that there were, like messaging. I went to one of the top people that I know is an expert in that, really marketing videos. I went to the top multi-million dollar real estate agent here in San Diego that only uses video, has been a part of HGTV, and said, what would you advise to people on using video? I was able to get Coach John Robinson, NFL championship coach, to contribute about watching the tape and how that creates champions. So I went to people that I had in my database and said, will you contribute? Then I went to my clients and said, do you mind if I share your story of how you went from here to here of being comfortable in communication and being on effective on camera? So by asking those that I had relationship with to contribute, it really expedited the process because it's really their story. It's not mine. It was their stories that people of all professions can relate to rather than it just being me, you know, as a windbag on paper, because nobody wants that.
I'd get in trouble if I said that.
But I can't. It's true. I'm like, oh, that's a lot of Amy. I mean, my poor family. But it was just really being able to share their story. And so it came together really rather quick. I mean, it's a lot of work, but I had help. My husband was incredible at helping and on the back end working with the publisher so that I could then be in the song searching and get ready to go to Nashville. But again, what else did we have to do? The world was shut down. So we made it happen.
So now I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a pet peeve. I watch news interviews all the time. There's Zoom interviews. And I have a pet peeve, and that is
me.
Earbuds in on the interview. The audio is terrible. There's a delay between mouth and screen.
Yes.
What is your pet peeve when you see those interviews? Like, what is the thing that your brain is screaming? Please stop doing that. The one thing.
Posture. I hate seeing the slouchers. You're on camera. Sit up. Sit up, young men. Yeah. I think it's really when you see a professional with incredible expertise and they're just slouched back like this, I lose interest. I just think there's something that our bodies and our body language can show such genuine authority, genuine interest, genuine care, passion. It just can change the entire narrative. So I think that would be it for me.
I always think of Craig Ferguson on the Late Late Show. He used to do that, and he'd always sit there just all
slouched.
And oh my god, leg up.
But I think he did that part as his shtick.
It was his shtick.
Yeah,
oh, and god. You know, clearly it worked for him. So that was his niche.
I just got back from Nashville.
Woohoo!
Great time for Father's Day and my daughter's
wonderful birthday.
here comes a Farleyism, so give me a minute, okay? My daughter turned 21, and she had an opportunity to go up on stage and sing with a band.
At nice.
Central. And she sings, she has fun. And let me tell you, she surprised me because I hadn't heard her sing in a while with a band that she's never performed with. What would you recommend, since you're singing and you're kind of doing things now, what would you recommend for somebody new coming into the music business or thinking about coming into the music business?
Number one advice, if you're thinking about going into the music business, and the word is in the second word, it's a business. My manager in 2004 said, the artists that run this as a business are the ones that have the chance to be successful. You have to run it as a business. I only get the very small percentage of the time is when maybe I'm performing or right now being with you guys on this wonderful podcast and getting to share about it. The rest of the time, I'm running my business. I know everything in and out about all of it so that I can know how to see ahead, how to navigate, how to make decisions. I work directly with the graphic artists, with the publishers, with the licensing, everything so that I understand the business behind it and I can gain respect of those that I'm working with, or else, especially as a female performer, I would get stomped. So I love when I'm speaking with somebody, I had an opportunity, my music video is getting picked up for one of the television networks and the executive reached me directly and said, we want to use this video. I'm like, outstanding. He goes, well, make sure and have your people or have your media company get in touch with us. They'll know what specs to send it. I said, thank you so much, but I am the producer of that. I have it all ready for you. It's already spec'd for television and I'll have it to you in 2 hours. And he went, okay, it's my job to know my business. Yes, I can outsource when I need to, but it's my job to run it as a business. Then guess what happens when I get to go on stage and perform? Oh my gosh, how fun is that? It's like I earned it.
Yes.
Like I don't just take it for granted. When I first stood on that stage with Clint Black back in 2008, it was the 4th of July in Camp Verde, Arizona, and a monsoon came through. But I had asked for that job. I went in person and delivered my marketing package. I went back out and interviewed. I wrote my own rider requirements. I got my team there. And when I got to stand on that stage, there was such satisfaction because wasn't something I didn't know about behind the scenes. And then all of a sudden I'm just standing on the stage. And that comes out in my performance. There's a confidence then that I can own that stage because I earned it.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Now I do have a question. You're a woman who has a finger in many different pies, controlling a lot of different things.
I do.
All media empire.
Mm-hmm.
What is your number one thing? For me, I live by my schedule. Is that something that you're disciplined?
Extremely disciplined. I'm a disciple of my calendar. And I look at that calendar and know, even knowing when I was going to come on with you guys, I gave myself that 15 minutes before to have my head in the game, to clear anything, any agenda. If I think someone's going to call, I text and say, please don't call because I'm going to be in a podcast from this time to this time. And then I already know what the rest of my week looks like. And then I know when I can fill in the gaps and work on my admin or marketing or graphics or reaching out to radio or whatever it is I need to do. I look ahead a couple days, the rest of the week and into the month. By mid-June, I was already planning out my July. What are the biggest objectives I can accomplish? What do I need to follow up on? I have a notebook for everything and I am disciplined with my day. I'm up every morning and I run it as a business first thing in the morning to the end of the day.
Now, my follow-up question to that is, how often are you taking care of you? Because I think a lot of us as parents, as business, I'm a business owner myself, as parents, as business owners, as, you know, just people existing in a busy world, are you good at scheduling yourself time as opposed to just grind?
Yes.
Because I am horrible at scheduling myself.
Costa Rica.
Todd time.
Well,
the rule sometimes, yeah. You know?
It was our youngest just graduated high school. This was her celebration trip and graduation. So for months, I let everybody know, I'm going to be taking June off. I'm going to be celebrating my daughter. She's going to have all my attention. So I pre-recorded episodes. I was pre-producing. I was writing scripts. I did everything in double time I needed to do in May so I could dedicate that time solely to her. Every detail with it, including a party. For myself, if I can tell that I'm getting worn out, then I'm going to schedule my time to make sure that I put that break in there. By 5:30 or 6 o'clock every evening, I'm on the patio with my husband having the glass of wine. I'm now having dinner. I'm doing the laundry. I'm enjoying my family and I'm putting that time in there. I'm also a Rotarian, so we're very dedicated to the time with our Rotary clubs and community service. And so I think it's just finding that balance. The biggest thing is making sure that I'm not wasting time during my work hours. We all have time in there that we waste, whether it's just staying on social media too long, whether it's, you know, noodling, daydreaming, surfing the web, whatever it is. And if I hyper-focus and stay disciplined, I can get a lot more done in an hour than maybe somebody can get done in 6 hours because of distractions. So as long as I'm tackling and accomplishing these, and I gave myself 4 hours of free space that day, I am thrilled. Like, oh, like today I have a couple of hours of free space. I'm going to read. I'm going to enjoy. I might go down to the street fair, get some fresh produce, come back, and I'm on another podcast in a few hours. And that's okay.
That's why my wife calls me a distraction all the time. Yeah, I get it.
My wife yells at
me. Distraction.
Are you on your phone again? Like,
But this has been years of learning. I mean, if anybody can look back and go, oh my God, did I waste time? Or where have I made those mistakes? But it's a constant evaluation to say, am I putting in that self-care? Yeah, there are many times I've run myself into the ground. So believe me, I didn't just wake up and be able to find that balance. And I'm still light years away from really having the balance I probably should have. But on the flip side, my youngest did just graduate high school. And as I say in a lot of interviews is I am old enough finally to be taken seriously and young enough to take action. And I do feel like it's my turn. I put a lot of time into making sure that these kids were raised and got what they needed. And it is my turn. And I am going to work a little harder now because I can. And I have the projects that I'm proud of to be able to do that.
I like it. Yeah, I really absolutely. Like it.
Man. I'm still learning the schedule discipline. And my wife is looking at me all the time like, it's my time. It's my time. And so I'm still learning that I'm a work in progress.
As yes.
So
listen to those cues.
Yes, oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I scheduled my wife. So I want to end with three questions that I like to ask folks.
Okay.
Now you can go either direction on which way you want to go. You want to go music, TV, best-selling author, absolutely phenomenal woman. You take your pick. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
What do you do well?
I care for people genuinely. I see the best in people, even on their worst day.
Got it. Nice.
I love that answer.
What would you do differently?
I would have forgiven myself a long time ago. I would have given myself a lot more grace.
Absolutely. I'm a perfectionist, so I feel that right here. If I don't nail something that I want to be good at, I beat myself up pretty harshly. And so
it's
an amazing lesson.
So it's time for me to stop doing that. It doesn't service me very well. It's time to let that go.
Exactly.
What do you need work on?
Such a mean
question. I know, that's a good one. Ooh, I hate the silent pause because you got me on that one.
Now we're just doing
this. I need to work more on listening to my health and making sure that I'm keeping that in check. I really need to listen to my health and not think that my body is just going to completely do everything I want it to do forever.
That's awesome. I'm so glad that you brought that up because I've had to do it. He's had to do it. Mm-hmm. Both work together in a certain field, EMS. Excuse me. Pardon me. And we never really took care of ourselves
because we spent the day taking care of everybody else.
Yes.
So that is, in my opinion, probably one of the hugest things that people need to understand. And a lot of people don't. Thank you much.
I have one.
Yes.
What book inspires you?
The Bible, first and foremost. Okay. First and foremost. But other than that, I'm an avid reader. I love reading.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, it's hard. I get very inspired by biographies.
Okay.
Especially by biographies by amazing women. So it's hard for me to pick just one. But when I read a biography of someone else, it's always inspiring to read somebody else. They didn't just wake up successful. They had their own story and journey, and you can find a lot of yourself in that. And so for me, in reading anything, even if only one page of a book has a powerful statement, then that was worth reading, because wow, I got something out of that. So I don't think that every book has to be this incredible, wow, every page just, you know, leapt out for me. It might only be a section of something, but if I can take it, apply it, grow from it, add it in, then I think that that's really helpful.
Excellent answer. I love that.
Hey folks, first of all, Amy, I want to thank you for being on the show today. We had such a great time, so much energy, so much passion. And I feel like I've learned like 3 months worth of stuff in the 20 minutes that we've been talking.
And you're sitting up.
Sitting up, bellies in. Yeah, that's it.
From the diaphragm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for taking some time. Thank you for giving out not just knowledge that I think everyone needs to have, but basically we're getting a snapshot of your coaching, and I think I'm in.
Unbelievable, yeah. I'm done.
I was truly looking forward to this, both of you. I was really excited to be on your platform today, and this was a treat, and please, anytime, if you need me or someone cancels at the last minute, just call me, I'm in.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Hey folks, from all of us here at What Up With Rob and Chris, And Todd, have a great day and a better tomorrow. What up?
What up? Thank you.